Item 8, Michael Francisco. Morning, Mike.
Morning.
How are you?
Morning, Mr. Carter. Mr. Michael Francisco is requesting authorization to replace an existing private pier with a 5-foot-wide open-pile private pier within a right-of-way easement extending 44 feet channelward to mean low water, to store four mooring piles, and to mechanically dredge 24.5 cubic yards of state-owned subaqueous bottom from a 380-square-foot area near the end of the proposed pier to lower the depths to minus 3 feet mean low water along an unnamed cove on the Piankatank River at 239 Old Ferry Road in Matthews County. The project is protested by the property owner, through which the applicant has the aforementioned right-of-way easement. I apologize, this is a little washed out, but the project area is in Matthews County, encircled in red. For points of reference, this is the York River, Mobjack Bay is approximately here, Rappahannock River is here, and Piankatank River is right along here. The project is on Gwynn's Island, which again, this is the mouth of the Piankatank River here, and this body of water is commonly referred to as Milford Haven. The project area is located in this red circle here along this cove. Previously, staff could not find any name for this cove, so we just called it an unnamed cove, but according to some of the property plats that Mr. Forrest has provided, this is called Forrest Cove, so if there's any confusion with that, I apologize. This is looking in a little closer now along the cove. The applicant's pier is located right here. The protester and property owner's pier is located here, and his property wraps around down along the road to this point approximately right here where there's an old bulkhead that's currently existing.
Go back to that for just – could you start over again? I missed some of your arrows there.
I'm sorry. The project is protested by the property owner, Mr. Forrest, who lives in this residence here. His property wraps around and comes down along the side of the road to this point right here along an old bulkhead.
Okay.
It terminates right here. All three of these piers you see here have right-of-way easements over Mr. Forrest's property, and the applicant's pier is located right here.
Thank you.
My apologies. This is a plat showing the existing conditions. Again, this is Mr. Francisco's pier, the applicant right here. Mr. Forrest's pier is located right here. In your packets, you'll see a court decision that has affirmed Mr. Francisco's right to maintain and utilize this pier you see marked on the plat. There is some discussion between Mr. Forrest and part of his protest as to whether or not this pier can be enlarged. I could not find any language in that court decision, but the court decision does affirm that Mr. Francisco can wharf out from this point and maintain and utilize that pier. The distance between the end of Mr. Francisco's pier to Mr. Forrest's pier is approximately 35 feet across here, and approximately 20 feet from Mr. Forrest up from Mr. Francisco's pier down to the next right-of-way easement pier, which belongs to Mr. Reynolds. The existing pier, as you see it right now, is 3 feet wide and extends 44 feet channelward to mean low water. The proposed pier will be 5 feet wide and, again, extend 44 feet channelward to mean low water, so it will not be encroaching any further channelward, and will also have four mooring piles that are denoted right here, 1, 2, 3, and 4. The area dredged out will be inside these mooring piles, dredged to a depth of minus 3 feet mean low water. This is a little better diagram of the proposed dredging area. Here you can see the existing pier and how it will be widened to 5 feet wide. And the area to be dredged will be approximately 380 square feet. The area to be dredged won't extend all the way to the end of the pier because the depths are here already minus 3 feet mean low water. And he just wants to continue that up to minus 3 feet, approximately 20 feet wide here, 14 feet wide on the side of the pier. Again, Mr. Forrest is protesting the pier because he does not think Mr. Francisco has standing to increase the pier size, and is concerned that any increase in size of the pier will impact his navigation, and the dredging may also impact any aquaculture activities that he has going on there, including crab shedding and a potential oyster aquaculture at some point in the future. This is a ground shot looking along Mr. Francisco's pier. This is the 22-foot vessel he currently has moored there right now. Mr. Forrest's pier is located over here, and this is his vessel he uses for commercial fishing operations. Again, the distance from here to the other pier is approximately 35 feet, so it's a little bit less than that when Mr. Forrest's pier is anchored there, or moored there. Again, the distance between these two piers is approximately 20 feet. This is a photo from Mr. Reynolds' pier looking from, the next pier down. I can't remember the gentleman's name. So this is Mr. Reynolds' pier here. This is Mr. Francisco's vessel, and then Mr. Forrest's pier and vessel's moored over here. In this photo, this is an extremely low tide. This is not a typical low tide. This is a windblown tide. And again, you can see Mr. Forrest's pier here. Mr. Francisco's in the distance. And he's, again, proposing to dredge where this vessel is located right now, as well as another area on this side of the pier to moor 16-foot vessel. This is just another picture of the same day showing the area between Mr. Reynolds' pier and Mr. Francisco's pier. Again, you can see his vessel sitting here. And this probably gives you the best idea of the distance between the two piers. Mr. Francisco's pier located here, and Mr. Forrest's vessel sitting here. And you can see the gap here is fairly narrow. In an effort to try and alleviate the congestion in this area, Mr. Forrest has offered to allow Mr. Francisco to relocate his pier from this area here down to along this bulkhead. Mr. Forrest has stated that the waters are deeper here, so it would not require dredging, and that he would again allow him to wharf out at this point. Mr. Francisco rejected this proposal, stating he wanted to be able to see his pier from his house, which is located right here. I'll just go ahead and read the staff summary recommendation into the record at this time. Mr. Francisco's current pier is nearing the end of its serviceable life and is narrowable compared to typical piers. Mr. Forrest's objections to the installation of a 5-foot-wide pier are based upon his assumption that Mr. Francisco cannot expand upon the footprint of the original pier. Staff has reviewed the court order and cannot find any language relating to requirement that a pier installed by Mr. Francisco be limited to a certain footprint. Staff is aware that the navigation in this area of the cove is difficult due to the congestion of piers and vessels. According to the plan drawings, the proposed pier will not encroach channelward of the existing pier, which staff believes is acceptable. Additionally, due to safety concerns, staff feels the 5-foot width of the proposed pier is appropriate. Mr. Francisco's proposed mechanical dredging is based upon the need to moor two vessels at the new pier. The larger vessel has a draft of 2.5 feet, which will support the proposed dredging depth on the south side of the pier. The second vessel is smaller with a draft of 1.5 feet and does not appear to require the proposed dredging on the state-owned bottom for its mooring. Additionally, staff is concerned that the proposed dredging on the northern side of the pier could impact Mr. Forrest's riparian area and fishing activities. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project against the concerns expressed by those in opposition to the project, and after considering all the factors contained in 28.2-1205 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends approval of the pier as proposed without the dredging on the north side of the pier. We also recommend approval of the proposed We also recommend approval of proposed mechanical dredging of 13 cubic yards on the south side of the pier, of the proposed pier, but we are unable to support the proposed dredging along the north side of the pier. Staff also recommends a royalty payment in the amount of $6.50 for the dredging of 13 cubic yards at a rate of 50 cents per cubic yard. If the Commission elects to approve the dredging on the northern side of the proposed pier, the royalty assessment will be $12.25 based upon the dredging of 24.5 cubic yards of state-owned subaqueous bottom at the same rate of 50 cents per cubic yard.
Mike, in that slide or the other one that showed the two dredging areas, mm-hmm. I assume the one to the north is the one at the top?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And that's the one you're not recommending?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Are there other questions for Mike? Thank you. Is the applicant represented? Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. Let me swear you in. Do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God.
I do.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Richard Langhorne. I'm an attorney in Boston, Virginia, and I represent Mr. Francisco today. He is here in person along with his agent, Jay Foster, if the commission has any questions for either of them. I'd like to state that the deed and the court order that's been referred to in the report has to do with the easement across the strip of land that the opposing neighbor owns. It really doesn't have anything to do with the dock itself. The court order and the easement in no way limit construction of the dock to any parameters. And so all the court action previously has just been regarding crossing a strip of land, probably not as far as from me to you, to get to a dock. We appreciate the evaluation by the commission. The applicant is still interested in dredging north of the pier as well as south of the pier. It's a very small dredge cut. I think it's 6 feet, maybe 6 to 8 feet wide. And both dredge cuts, what they really allow the applicant to do is to pull his boats inward, landward, and dock them within the confines of his pier and take them out of the inlet and actually allow more turning room for other vessels in the inlet. So I find it difficult to believe that the opposition to that dredge cut is based upon not being able to maneuver the boats or to in any way close up that space. It actually opens up the space between the two docks. As far as the stirring up sediment goes, the soft shell operation, I understand, is a seasonal thing, April, May of the year. This is a very short one-day operation, as well as a set of potential oyster aquaculture operation. Well, it's I don't believe it's permitted at this time or operating at this time. And again, this is a one-time, a very de minimis dredge cut. So I will respond again, if I may, following the neighbor's opposition statements. And do you have any questions?
Any questions? Yes, sir, Mr. Plummer.
With the how far of an expansion of the width is this from? How many feet to 5 feet?
It's approximately 3 feet to 5 feet.
3 feet to 5 feet. And you're dredging back. Is there any way to shorten the length of this pier now that you're dredging in for his vessel that he keeps there?
I believe that I wasn't involved in local wetlands, but I believe they actually had to shorten the north dredge cut because of the impact from the wetlands with the angle and the distance. And so I think to shorten the pier, requiring moving the dredge cut in to keep the boat inside the pier confines would actually then probably run into a wetlands issue, I believe, from what I read in the Matthews wetlands report.
Thanks. Any other questions? Seeing none, do you have anyone else wishing to speak?
Not this time, Mr.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Forrest? I swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God.
I do.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
John Robert Forrest V. I'm the owner of the property that this pier has got an easement to have to be on. I have a bunch of stuff here. That's the problem. I have a whole bunch of stuff here. I was at William & Mary Law Library yesterday, and I found one particular item that I think might change the whole complexion of this thing, so I'd like to read that. And I could put it up on here, too. But see if
okay.
I'm not sure how to turn this off.
We'll take care of that. Linda will help you.
just read it.
Just for the record, if you couldn't clarify where you're reading from.
But anyway, this is in Mitchie. It's Mitchie's or Mickey, depending on how you pronounce it. Jurisprudence. This was at Greenwood Law Library. It says, also in Virginia, where the width of a right-of-way is not specified in the grant, it is limited to the width as it existed at the time of the grant. Next line, next sentence says, if the grantor or grantee at the time of the grant or soon thereafter practically locates the width thereof at any point by the erection of fences, gates, or other structures, and this practical location is acquiesced in by the other party and is used by him without objection for many years, it will be considered that the width thus fixed was intended by the grant. I'd like to.
Jeff, can you hand that up to us? Right.
Thank you.
I can respond to that already.
You're on the bottom.
We'll wait till he's done and then you can respond.
This thing was taken on the same day.
That would only be for me, well, landlord.
Anyway, the survey only showed the part of the pier that's in good condition. The existing original pier got knocked down by Hurricane Isabel and hasn't been rebuilt yet, but extends 32 feet past the end of the existing of what shows up on the.
Mr. Forrest, which pier are you referring to now? Can you orient us?
Okay. The pier on the lower right is Mr. Francisco's pier.
Okay.
The pier across from that is my pier. So if you see where that's my boat sitting on the mud here. If you look at the pole that's like in the middle of the boat, where that, you can see there's a white oyster cage mm-hmm. floating. Can you all see that? Okay. Right there, that's the extent of what the plat shows from 2007. It doesn't show the part of the pier that got knocked down, although the poles were still there for that pier, which is 32 feet past that pier. And I never had a chance to get the surveyor to change that. In any case, if you look on the left, in about the middle, there's a white pipeline that comes out from my crab shedding thing. That's the outflow from the water to return it. And since this is a dead-end creek, my suction line is at the very end of the pilings that I have on my pier. And to get the water to have a bigger area to circulate in, I directed the water so it comes this way. And it kind of goes around in circles. And I set the thing up so that it puts more oxygen in the water than crabs are using. So I'm actually improving the water as I'm running the operation. But in any case, I was unaware until a little while ago that there were mooring poles to be in this project. And I don't know why I didn't get the memo. But I have to drive my boat to unload crab pots to the bottom of where that pipeline comes out. And as you can see, it's really very flat and very shallow in there. Mm-hmm. Even though this is an abnormally low tide, the typical low tide would be approximately right in there, right between that pole and that pole is the normal low tide in the summertime and springtime. The way I just saw that, what I was told by staff was they were going to increase the size of this, what he wants to increase on equal amount on each side of the pier, but what he was showing me before is showing most of what he wants to add is on the north side. The north side is to the left of the pier. I have to drop off, to get into that, I have to go to the shore to unload crab pots. And like I said, I didn't know about the mooring poles. I have a photograph, but I don't have it with me. It shows that angle, looking at where the crab pots are stacked up. You can't turn the boat. You have to line it up where you want to go on the shoreline, and you have to get a running start and then just shove it up in there. It's impossible to turn the boat once you hit the mud because it's outboard and the lower. Once the motor contacts the mud, you can't go anywhere but straight. And then the motor pops up too. So anyway, I unload crab pots there. And I don't know where the proposed mooring pole would be, but it's going to be just about right in the middle of where I have to drive the boat. On top of that, if you take the pier and add 2 or 3 feet, plus the width of the pole that he's talking about, because he wants an open pile pier, this pier currently is a closed pile. All the pilings are underneath of that pier. The pier is not really 3 feet wide. It's closer to 30 inches. The widest board on it that I found was 33 inches. Most of them are 30 and a half to 32. It's going to have a much bigger footprint than what is there now. On top of that, the footprint to the north is going to make it even more difficult to get my boat to that part of the area. I used that. I've used it for as long as I've been crabbing. I use it now. There's crab pots stacked up there now. And what I'm seeing, if he moves the pier more further to the north, if you add 2 feet or 3 feet on to the north side of that, on the left there, he's even in shallower water than he is now. So he'd have to put his boat even further out in the creek. For that, I have another photograph. He bought this boat in 2007. And since then, he's been typically ignoring it like this, so that it sticks about, my calculation was it's about 11 feet past the end of the old pier. The triangular piece on there now is the part that started the giant circuit court fight that we had. He added that without any permit and specifically against the former.
He added what?
That triangular, that's his pier on the other side.
Are you talking about the downstep part?
Right. That pole and that triangular deck part was added in 2007. Right there. So the he bought this boat in either late 2006 or early 2007. And ever since then, there's no reason to moor it this way, except at low tide it sits in the mud. Well, the mud doesn't hurt the boat, but it still sits in the mud, whether it's tied up here or closer up. But it sticks out with the motor jacked up like that about 11 feet from the old existing pier line, which would be right there. So anyway, I complained about that, and we got in a fight over it and wound up in circuit court for 4 years. But the VMRC ordered him to remove this, which he did. But he still has the boat moored the same way, although right at the moment the motor is down. Anyway, when I launched my boat, Mr. Everhart had this pier from 1965 until he sold the place in 1994. But when I wanted to put my boat up in here to unload crab pots, I had to run the boat to where it scraped along the side of this. Well, now I have to get around this thing, which means I have to come at an angle across here, which is very difficult. Now, if he increases this to here, which is what it looks like, with a pole on the corner of the dock, an open pile pier, and puts a mooring pole over here, I'm just cut completely off from this in this area here. And that's the only place I have to unload crab pots. And I've been doing it since 1965, so it's like I've been there as long as anybody. This is my crab skiff here, tied it to the dock.
Question, Mr. Forrest.
Yes.
If the commission were to allow the applicant to dredge where his boat is now sitting, wouldn't that allow him to push his boat further up toward the shoreline and out of your way?
Whether he'll do that or not, that's another matter. I'm not sure he's going to do it. I think he'll leave it the same way he's got it now.
So he would be just dredging for no useful purpose?
No, it wouldn't sit on the bottom anymore when the tide goes out. But it's... here's the area that I'm just giving you. Here's the area that is at the very south corner. It might be taken on the same day, same time. This is the very south corner of that. Although the bulkhead is in bad shape now, it's not completely gone. The poles are still good. But if he had a pier right here, his boat would be floating right here. This was dredged out in the mid-60s. By Winston Montague, the judge who lived here, the permission of my father, and they put all that fill dirt up in our yard, which is why I have the bridge down the middle of the marsh area now. There's no dredging required. It's like 3 feet or more deep, even right up to here at normal low tide, right up to the bulkhead.
I used to, I had, for a while, I put crab pots and peeler pots up here, but this is, the road is right through there. And I had problems with people stealing the crab pots. And so I abandoned doing that because crab pots are expensive. The staff recommendation is, to not allow dredging here. And for one reason, this is just mostly mud and sand. It's going to fill right back in right away. But I've been conducting experiments on oyster culture for 3 years up here, over 3 years now. And I had the first time I did it, I had an odd die-off of some of the oysters. And I did the same experiment a second time to try and figure out what was killing the oysters. And I finally think I have it down now. Would you like to hear oyster experience?
Well, only if it's pertinent to the application.
Well, it is, because I'm planning on raising seed oysters between... I'm going to buy... I've already got a lease on Burton's Point for 6.5 acres. I'm going to buy oysters as a seed oyster operation at Callis Wharf on Webb Island. So I'm going to buy 2-millimeter oysters, put them in my crab shedding tank after I'm done shedding crabs in May. Usually about the third week of May is crab shedding is done. Raise them until they're 15 millimeters. And then I'm trying to lease a place at the end of the creek or the mouth of the creek, but I'm not having much luck so far. But I can grow them right here in cages on this big flat area. And it won't interfere with his use of the existing dock. If he builds this thing over this way, it will interfere with it and prevent me from doing it. But and it's going to be on bottom cages, not floating cages. I have the mortality in the floating cages. And at first, the first time I did it, I had the exact same oysters, and all over in the floating cage. I had no mortality when I first did them. And I got big enough that the cage started to sink, I split them. I put half of them in trays on the bottom and left half in the floating cage. So at the end of the year, I went down here, and the trays in the bottom were out right in here somewhere. And they were completely covered in mud, and I just expected all the oysters were dead. And so I picked them up and cleaned them up. I had 3 dead oysters out of over a bushel. So then I said, well, heck, the floating cage probably did better. Well, over a third of the oysters in the floating cage were dead. And I talked to people at Jim West and all, trying to figure out what killed them. Because they're the exact same oysters, they're in the same water, they're 20 feet apart. And our theory was, well, maybe they got overheated because they were up on the surface in the summertime, the sun killed them. So then last year I repeated this project. I filled this thing up with oysters, and I put half of them on trays and half of them in the cage, and then I put the cage underneath the dock so it was shaded from the sun. Had the same result. One third of the oysters in the floating cage are dead, but the ones on the bottom did just fine. But then I decided, well, the problem is fresh water. We had a big rainfall in the spring of 10 inches or so in one event. And I've seen it happen before. There's not much to, you know, wave action or anything that makes it the water in this creek. And the fresh water, when you get a lot like that, it just floats on top of salt water. So the floating cage is going up and down. It stays in the freshwater part, kills the oysters. But on the bottom, when the water comes in, it's salt water, and it keeps them alive. So the oysters on the bottom do much better than the oysters in the floating cage. But then as soon as the oysters reach big enough to go in a 1-inch by 1-inch wire cage, I'm going to move them out to Burton's Point, because this area is condemned for oyster harvest anyway. It's permanently closed, not receiving the oysters. But they grow great in here. Everybody in this creek has got oysters at the dock, and they all eat them. But anyway, my research into easements, there's very little on the Code of Virginia about easements, but there's lots and lots of case law on easements, and that's why it was 4 years in circuit court. I was reading this thing in the Code of Virginia. It says,
that the pier can be 6 feet wide, but it doesn't say that includes the poles or doesn't. Staff doesn't count the poles. But if there's no case decision, never deciding what that is, I would think it has, you know, six. If you add the poles on the outside, you know, take the logical extreme, somebody put 3 foot diameter poles on each side of the pier, they pick up a huge area. I would think that 6 feet means total 6 feet. And it also in the same section, this is 28.2-1203, number five, and this is in V. In V, it says the piers are determined not to be a navigational hazard by the commission. And there's several other statutes that say similar things about navigation. And the way he's got this thing set up is, I really, you know, if you want to let him build the thing 5 feet wide, I'd say go south, not north, because there's no room to turn the boat around, my boat around anyway. I have to be able to move the boat up here and then get it back out again. And in the old days before the fight with Mr. Francisco, if I got stuck in here, I would hook a black and tackle to the end of this pier and pull the boat out. In worst case, I'd get a truck on the road with a long rope and hook to it and just pull the boat off the mud. And the way the crab rules are, you have limited time to do this. You know, it's an 8-hour work day and you can't be waiting for the tide to come in or anything to do this. The easement, well, in the easement, the deed that I have says that the easements are for small piers, which I don't think means as big a pier as you can possibly get away with. And this is what these people built back in the 60s when they built them, these small piers. Although this one, I mean, if you let him dredge more and he cut off this, that would be fine with me because he doesn't need to do it. It doesn't, the only reason it needs to be that long. If they put this where the original intent was for this to go, it would have been 5 feet further this way, and the water is much deep. You can watch how it cuts across here. If he was 5 feet further here, he wouldn't be having any problem. So he actually is wanting to expand the pier in the wrong direction, going to the north. He should be going to the south. The water's deeper.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Forrest? John, we're going to have to keep those photographs that you've showed for, what, 30 days?
Okay.
Any questions for Mr. Forrest?
I want one clarification, if I could. With regards to the your crabbing operation, the primary spot appears to be on the other side of your pier from the applicant's pier.
Yeah, it's on the same side.
It's on the same side.
If you look at the like I said, I didn't realize there were going to be mooring poles, and I have a photograph that shows going from the south to the north, but where that box says crab floats.
Use your pointer.
That is where the crab shedding floats are. There's 10 of them.
Okay.
And then I stack crab pots right in here.
And this is not your drawing. This is the applicant's drawing.
This is the surveyor's drawing.
Okay.
But it's the one. They had it. We had it. This is one we used in the circuit court trial. Got it done in 2007. When he did this pier, he only showed the good part of the pier, not the part that was broken. Right out here. And I have a photograph that was taken in the 1980s. It shows the extent of the original pier. Would you like to see that?
Why don't I just hand it up here and I'll pass it down the line. And
I don't know exactly when that was taken. Even though it says marsh here, when they dredged this area down here, all the fill went right up here and runs right down the center of this. So this is actually higher ground in this place here. But this is hard enough here where you can drive a pickup truck on it. Where over here is just mud. You can't navigate there. But I keep this mowed, and I also used to launch a boat here, but you can't get the boat back up.
But I unloaded the crab pots right here, and right now there's a stack of about 200 of them in there. And right here is where all the peeler pots are stacked up. And this pier has all kinds of stuff on it.
Any other questions, Mr. Ford?
So,
Mr. Tank.
To make sure I'm clear, so your father gave an easement for all these piers in the 60s, or someone in your family did? Your grandmother did. And you didn't anticipate any conflict of use at that time?
We didn't have any. You know, that's the problem with the olden days. All those people knew each other, and we never, ever had any issues over anybody using the pier. Nobody ever tried to put a boat as large as Mr. Francisco at the end of that creek. Before, he had a boat that was about 20 feet long with a condenser and stern. And this is a 25-foot southwester with Harper with a, you know, the extended outdrive system with the motor tilted up. It's a big boat. It's a much bigger boat. Basically, he got a bigger boat, and now he wants to make the creek bigger.
One more follow-up question. So the boat that you have in the photograph, how large is that?
That was 26 feet. It's a Navy whale boat, or, you know, rescue boats they have on the ship. We don't have it anymore. It's gone.
So, in fact, that was bigger than what Mr. Francisco has?
No, because the way his boat is actually overall as close to 30, maybe even more than that. If you take a tape measure from when the motor's jacked up to the front of the boat, it's a big boat.
Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Forrest. The applicant has a few minutes to respond to any concerns expressed by Mr. Forrest.
Richard Langhorne again from Mr. Francisco. There appears to be a little bit of misunderstanding. The mooring pilings are intended to be part of the pier structure. These are not intended to be offsetting mooring pilings on the other side of the boat. So they were, as planned, it was to be four mooring pilings, which were part of the pier structure to moor the boat to as it's against the pier, not individual pilings set out. So if that's a concern, Mr. Forrest, that's not intended in the plans. And I don't think that's really shown in the plans, but perhaps it is. Other than that, I think that the photograph that Mr. Farr showed of the low tide, even on the north side of the pier, shows the need to dredge simply to get a foot and a half of water. There's very little water there at low tide. And what Mr. Francisco is attempting to do is to dredge so that he can pull the boats forward and get the boats out of the channel or out of the inlet to allow more maneuverability for Mr. Forrest and anybody else using the inlet. So, again, I, with no ongoing permitted aquaculture operation at this time, I find it difficult to understand why there's opposition to being able to bring the boats landward inside the pier area and get them out of the channel. I think that's clearing it up for everybody and allowing more room for all neighbors who use that inlet. It is very tight up there. It's a small inlet with numerous piers, numerous docks coming out. But I think the work done by the staff is as accurate as far as the safety need for a wider pier. And the pier itself is going to be no longer than is already there. There are going to be no outside mooring pilings. And the dredging is necessary to bring the boats out of the channel, to get them out of his way when he tries to, I guess, dock his boat up there in the mud or run his crab pots up there. So I think the application should be approved as presented with the very de minimis dredging on the north side of the pier. I think that serves all parties well in this matter.
Mr. Langhorne, what was the reasoning for adding the additional, I guess, 2 feet of width to the pier on the north side as opposed to the south side?
Mr. Francisco has always advised me that he was just going to use the center line of the pier, the existing pier, and go out from there 2.5 feet, which would make it equal on both sides. I do see that on the application or the drawings, but he would have no problem simply taking the center line of the existing pier and going out 2.5 feet on either side of the center line of the existing pier, which would somewhat minimize that 2 feet on one side and one on the other would make it 1.5 and 1.5 out. Or actually a foot and a foot. The pier's already 3 feet wide, almost 3 feet wide.
And, Mike, could you put the photograph of the with the vessel, with the engine up, and how it's extending beyond the like there was another. Maybe it was one of John's. Well, that'll work. If the dredging on the south side is approved, does it mean that vessel can shift further to toward the shoreline, or is it just sitting, instead of being in the mud at low tide, it'll be sitting in water?
I will defer to, but my understanding is that it's to be able to bring the vessel all the way up so it does not extend past the end of the pier. But my idea is to keep the vessel fully contained within the confines of the pier.
Okay. Thank you. Other questions for Mr. Langhorne? Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What are the dimensions of the second vessel that the applicant intends to moor on the north side of the...
It's actually a Boston Whaler, Carolina Skiff, a 20-foot, 13 by 6 feet, I guess.
And if there's not any dredging allowed on the north side of the pier per staff recommendation, will it be possible to moor that second vessel within the length of the pier?
I think it depends on the tide. The photograph that Mr. Forrest showed there, obviously it was mud all the way out to the end of the pier from what I could see. So I think that probably at a high tide is possible, but at low tide I would imagine that it's probably sitting on the mud most of the time. It looked like a pretty solid area of mud coming down from the wetlands into the water from what I saw. Again, the whole idea is to get the boats, both boats up and away from the end of the pier and out of his way and bring them within to the shoreline.
And a follow-up question, Mr. Chairman, just with respect to the additional width of the pier, is there any negative consequence or objection to taking all of that additional width of the pier on the south side? I mean, it's 2 feet
well,
or 2 feet, yeah. 6 inches, whatever it is.
I think as proposed, of course, it was noticed to the adjoining pier owner, Mr. Reynolds, and perhaps now we're changing that, but I don't know that my client doesn't necessarily object to that and shifting everything over as long as he can get a wider pier. It's the pier you saw a picture of, it's pretty dilapidated and pretty narrow. Two people can't pass on it. It truly is a safety issue. But as far as placement of the pier, whether it's from the center line now on equal on either side or as proposed, or if it's 2 feet on the south side and 1 foot on the north side, I don't think the applicant has strong feelings either way, as long as he can get an adequately wide pier.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Appreciate it. Mike? Staff have any thoughts on whether the additional 2 feet in width should be split down the center line or added solely to the south side, or any concerns there?
The only concern would be Mr. Reynolds' pier to the south and the fact that the box cut for the dredge will be coming 12 feet, you know, south of the pier itself.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's any impacts to Mr. Reynolds' pier, I mean, the dredge cut's not very deep. It's only a foot and a half. I don't think Mr. Reynolds moors any boats on the north side of that pier at this time, but I have not talked to him about that.
And staff's concern about the north dredge cut was primarily based on the fact that it's a small vessel that's proposed.
A foot and a half dredge, foot and a half draft, according to the application that Mr. Francisco submitted for the dimensions of the boat.
Any final questions of Mike? All right, the matter's before the commission.
Mr. Robinson.
I did have one final question. I just want to clarify. I mean, it sounds like based on the testimony we've heard from the applicant's counsel that there are not going to be any additional mooring piles that would be at some distance from the pier. Is that clarification consistent with your understanding? Because I'm looking at the plan view drawing, and you know, it seems that those points either side of the pier might be viewed as a mooring pile. They're not called out specifically.
Yeah. When I saw four mooring piles, I assumed these four heavy set dots were marking mooring piles for the pier. So if they're saying they're going to bring it in adjacent to the pier, we could ask them to resubmit a drawing showing that there will be no mooring piles offshore of the pier.
I'm getting a lot of head nods out there. I'm not sure if that means that they are in agreement to removing those pilings, or if that was not the intent.
You want to respond to that, Mr. Langhorne?
Yes,
there was really never the intent to have those. I think they were maybe points to mark the edges of the dredge cut.
Okay. And they are not mooring piles.
There are no mooring piles. They're not part of your structure.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. Thank you. Matters before the commission?
Before you make a motion and vote on this, I want to make one very small clarification in our staff evaluation. We had indicated the dredging royalty should be based on 50 cents per cubic yard. And our standard policy is to start at 45 cents per cubic yard. And while it's only a few cents here in that scheme of things, it's probably more important in the future that we maintain 45 cents per cubic yard of dredging.
Okay. So noted. Matters before the commission. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just trying to think through the concerns of the neighbor and the desires of the applicant. It seems that in light of the fact that there is also another adjacent pier owner, that it might be most appropriate to run the pier down the center line and pick up the additional width on both sides. I am still somewhat concerned, I guess, about what happens on the north side. It seems that there's some balance to be struck about whether or not to allow that second dredge cut. And looking at those photographs at the low tides, it almost seems that allowing the dredge cut would, in fact, help to ensure that that second vessel doesn't stick out beyond the existing length of the pier. It seems like that's that north corner and that north end is the biggest hot spot relative to the potential conflicting uses relative to the neighbor, but I think that's something that may deserve some more consideration as to whether or not to allow that to occur on the north side. I think in general the dredge cut on the south side should allow the existing vessel to be moored within the confines of the pier, and that ought to help alleviate some of those concerns.
Yeah, I see this situation all the time too, where adjoining neighbors are struggling to find the balance, and it's difficult for us to do that for them when they cannot reach an agreement with one another, because how they use their pier every day is something we certainly can't regulate. Seems to me like it wouldn't be a bad idea to pull this pier in a little bit and dredge a little bit up and accommodate this, but that's not what's before us or recommended, and I can certainly understand approving the dredge on the south side with this. I don't see any problems going from 3 to 5 feet if it's done on the center line, to be fair. And there are no moorings outside the structure of the pier. I think I can support that.
Other comments? Mr. Palmer.
I can understand Mr. Forrest's point, though, about the crab pots. It's something to have to move them around all the time and put them in boats, take them out of boats, and you would want a little bit of room on the side for them. You know, I think that the family's been accommodating to the Franciscos and whoever had the property before that, but, you know, he does have an ongoing commercial operation there. He uses the dock every day, and we do have to allow for that.
Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion. Motion to approve dredging only on the south side of the dock, and the new dock placement to be right down the center line with 5 foot width.
And are you including in your motion the royalties as recommended by staff?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second it, but I would ask the mover to also include that there be no pilings outside the main structure of the pier.
I don't think there's any ask for, but you can include that as part of your motion. Okay. No pilings. There's
I'll second. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Motion has been seconded. Comments on the motion? Mr. Robbins.
Just a clarification. So, is it the understanding of the maker that the second vessel will now be moored alongside the northern edge of the pier with the absence of any additional dredging?
be no additional dredging. I'm not going to limit somebody as to what they could put on their dock, you know, what side the vessel has to be. I mean, it's his dock.
Yeah, but the motion was no dredging on the north side.
That is correct.
Okay. Any final comments? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. Permit will be granted.